You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 54.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Marty Spencer Devlin. Marty has an extraordinary life, from an abusive childhood to heroin addiction in jail to founding a multi-million dollar direct marketing company. After 20 years on top, she was given a year to live. Beating all odds, she is with us today and is now an author and personal development coach. Marty, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kimberly. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I love your tagline, taking the icky out of marketing. How perfect is that?
That's the most common word I hear from my clients is, it's icky.
It's true.
So now you have the most incredible life story, and I would love to hear it in your own words. Tell us about your journey, what you've been through, and how you ended up here today as an amazing speaker and an author.
Well, you know, it's always, where do you start? I mean, I wrote a whole book about it, which is 500 pages. The book is called Crawling Into the Light. And it gives you sort of an idea that there was definitely some crawling involved before the light. So I had a pretty rough start in life. I was molested the first 10 years of my life, got raped twice in my teenage years. And then I married a guy who was abusive. And I thought he was going to take me away from it all. But I was a professional model. And first, he was very, very proud that I was a professional model. And then he became insanely jealous and he became obsessed with controlling me. And so he cooked up a really insane and diabolical plan. He got me hooked on heroin intentionally. You know, I tell you, every time I tell that story, I always go like, really? Did that really happen? Because it's so crazy, isn't it?
Well, it's unbelievable, but I know people that are in situations that are, it's amazing, especially if you love someone. If there's that connection that you'll do anything for them, and you don't realize it till after how dumb it was.
Exactly, and because I had this bad background, the molestation and the rapes, I was ripe for something like that, and it came along. And the first time I felt that drug, and it fixed everything seemingly. I knew I wanted to do that again and again. Now he was very abusive, and he beat me, and so I eventually got away from him, but I couldn't get away from the drugs. And so for the better part of 10 years, I struggled with heroin addiction with all that entails. And that's a lot. I ended up a criminal, a prostitute, and then I ended up homeless and finally ended up in prison. And so but by the time I got there, I really felt that I deserved a better life. And so I took that time to get strong, to educate myself, to just really change myself. And when I got out, I really felt like I was a new person. And someone gave me a chance. Someone gave me a job in marketing. And it turns out that I loved marketing. And a few years later, I started my own firm. And I turned that into a multi-million dollar enterprise. I had 70 employees and really, really absolutely loved what I was doing. But it was also, there was a lot. And so eventually I got sick, and in 2008 I was given a year to live. And so I ended up losing it all.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And this is such a bizarre thing, but I interviewed someone last week, Clint Warren, who had also, due to drugs, had spent some time in jail. And he also used that time to go in and like work on himself and come out stronger. And that's, he said he doesn't recommend anyone go to jail, but it was, I think he equated
I'm with
it,
him.
Right, because he equated it to people like pay to go to ashrams, and he says, and he went to jail.
You know, it's funny that he put it that way, because I mean, I tell you, I was terrified, absolutely terrified being there and having been, once I was sentenced there, it's like, oh, I remember walking through the gates and looking down and my t-shirt was moving. My heart was hammering so hard that my t-shirt was actually moving with my heartbeat. I was so, so terrified. But there you are. The only way out is through. And so I really thought, it's like, you know what? This isn't so different than the army, really. Mm. You know, where people go voluntarily, and they so I just decided, you know, it's just a mindset thing. Use it, make it something good, because you can't get around it. You're going to have to go through this. So might as well turn it into something good. So it sounds like I did exactly the same thing as your previous week's
the guest.
Guest, yes. Couldn't think of the word.
Yeah, again, don't recommend it, but if you can use it that way, amazing.
Well, you know, what it boils down to that everything always happens for the best. And I think that really nearly anyone that's listening has probably been through some difficult times. It may not be the difficult times that I've been through, but it doesn't matter whatever it is you're going through. Maybe your father was an alcoholic. Maybe you were bullied in high school. It doesn't matter whatever it is. And if it's traumatic, then it's painful and then it's hurtful. But the point is that there's a gift in absolutely everything. And when you know to look for the gift, then you can unwrap it. And it's really been my experience that if it's really, really bad, then the gift is really, really good. So never feel victimized. Always look for, there is a silver lining. There always is. Everything happens for the highest and greatest good. It's really been my experience.
And that's such a beautiful way to look at it, and kind of the only way we can. Otherwise, we end up in this very dark place.
Absolutely. But I really think it's more than that. It's more than just, well, this is a good way out. This is a good way you can bend yourself and find a way through. I really think that there's a reason why all of us exist. And there's only two ways we can learn. We can learn through pain, or we can learn through insight. And until we get the insight, usually we're, you know, there would be another way to learn it, but we're usually too stubborn. We can't figure it out. We don't have the awareness yet to learn it another way. So we learn through pain.
Yes, we do get stubborn when it comes to learning, don't we?
Yeah, it's true. But it's always about figuring out that we're better than we really thought we are.
Yeah. So you were given this incredible gift of someone having faith in you and giving you an opportunity in marketing, which you fell in love with. So tell me about that experience and then how you turned that into your own company.
Well, I realized that marketing is simply necessary. It's like you're saying, I love your tagline, it's icky. And many people feel it's icky, particularly heart-centered entrepreneurs think marketing is icky. It's sort of somehow smarmy, and it's trying to talk people into something. But that's just not the case, because any business that doesn't know marketing will die. And it dies because people don't know that you exist. And it doesn't matter what the most wonderful service that you're called to do. And when you're a heart-centered entrepreneur, you know that you're called to do that. You know you exist for a reason, and you are in this life to express that. You are meant to give something to the world that only you can give. Well, if the world doesn't know about you, you're never going to give your gift. And the world loses out. We are all part of a bigger picture. We're all a puzzle piece in the bigger picture. And if you don't show up, there's a hole in the fabric. And you cannot show up if people don't know you exist.
I love that analogy of a hole in the fabric if we're not there to help. I love that.
That's absolutely. I mean, we're here for a reason. All of us are here for a reason.
Yeah. So
no accidents.
Absolutely. So what were the steps then you took to then, you were in marketing, you love it, and now how do you build your firm? Because that's always a scary step when you're like, I'm going to go out on my own and do this.
Yeah, there's. I had a business partner, and I do have to credit him with that. It was all my money, and he had the idea. It was like, why don't we open a marketing firm? And so, like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I had inherited money from my parents, so that's where the startup money came from. And I probably would not have had the big picture vision for it. I would have been scared. I would have just been like what my parents do. You hold on to your money, you save it under the mattress, you're careful with it. And because it wasn't his money, he was able to be thinking broad. But it turns out that is sort of the law of abundance. You just allow it to go. You allow it to express, and then it comes back to you. So that was definitely is where I found the courage. He sounded so sure. He says, let's open our own business. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And then all the work fell to me, mind you. but that's okay, because it was meant to be that way. It was perfect. And so just built a company really built on spiritual principles.
Fantastic. And so, and I love the idea that, you know, having a partner, because not everybody, like, we all have the idea, we know we want to succeed, we know we want our own businesses, but sometimes that extra help, whether it's a partner or a coach or however that turns out to be, is just what we need to get us to the next level. So I love that, you know, you're open to being able to take the experience from other people and say, all right, let's move forward on that. So that's such a great lesson.
Fully agree with you. I mean, I think that a coach is absolutely necessary for anyone who's in business, who has a lot resting on their shoulders. Because like you say, you just need that opposite. And I think a coach is actually a better idea than a business partner, because business partners, they have their own agendas. They have their own thing that they're trying to move forward, while a coach is always going to be on your side. So you need to find someone who has business acumen and then can an opposite that understands and then can guide you in the right direction. I mean, successful people have coaches. I have a coach. Yep. I mean, I think everyone needs to have one. It's just the way it is.
I do too. I don't know what I would do without him.
Yeah. In order to move forward, especially if you have a big idea like starting your own business, you have to have someone. Because if you have all these crazy ideas running in your head, how do you know what's the right way? How do you know how to proceed? It's the way to go. Yeah. You definitely want to get yourself a coach first.
We might as well learn from someone else's experiences and failures and do them ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's necessary. I mean, the reason most businesses fail in the first year is because business partners make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that the business was a bad idea. You just make so many mistakes in the beginning because you don't know. There's not a manual that works under all circumstances for your business. Every business is a new entity. It's like a new child. And there aren't any manuals for that.
No, absolutely. So now you mentioned for your company, you kind of based it on, I'm going to see if I get the term right. Did you say spiritual practices or spiritual principles? So how did you do that?
Spiritual laws, really. Well, it comes from my early story. You know, I told you I'd been given a year to live, and that's a really, really scary thing to hear. You know, a year is so short. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like from January to Christmas, it's the blink of an eye. And I did lose my business. My business partners took it out from under me. So that's where the bad side from having a partner comes in. But it turned out really that everything happens for the highest and greatest good. So I had real estate investments, and I couldn't take a salary anymore. And so I pretty much everything went away. And so I ended up going home to mom. I went to Germany, really essentially waiting to die. And that's when I started writing my first book, like Crawling Into the Light. And when you're been given a year to live, you stand at that abyss and you look down, things become very, very clear. And you ask a lot of questions. And in that energy, if you will, is how I wrote my book. And so I had some mind-blowing realizations, mind-blowing things that became clear to me, and of what I now know are universal laws. And it was paradigm shifting for me. It allowed me to look at everything in a completely different light, also as far as my health and my wellness was concerned. And so this will shock you, because I didn't die.
Which, thank goodness.
Yeah, because otherwise this would be a really creepy conversation. No, it was really, truly paradigm shifting for me. And those things that I learned then is what I teach in my coaching practice today. And those were the principles that really I became aware of them writing the book, but I already kind of had them. I kind of, this is what, you know, they're things like the law of attraction that we all know about, you know, is putting things out very, very clearly showing what it is that you want and focusing on what you want versus dwelling on what you don't want, treating people with respect and thinking in terms of the law of abundance and not being cheap when it comes to investing in your business, realizing that you have to put it out in order for it to come back. Those are the things that I now teach. And those are the things that I think are really, really important when you're starting a new business to do those things right. When you're starting a new business, it's scary because you have this finite amount of money that you want to invest. And I remember when I still had my marketing company, people would come to me and say, oh, you know, how's business? Oh, business not so good. Well, how much is your marketing budget? Oh, I don't have money for marketing. I'm barely surviving. Well, you don't have money for marketing, then you're probably soon, the surviving part won't be a problem for you anymore. You know, you have to invest. You have to think big. If you think small, you get back small, and small dies. Big is when you think big. And when you just know that you're connected to this abundance of the universe, it can come at you and it can come in you. And you have to do what you love. If you don't do what you love, you're blocking the flow. When you do what you love, the money comes. So it's important to pick something that you really love doing.
Well, I can attest there's nothing worse than being in a job that you don't like, even if you're making more money than you ever imagined. It just doesn't work.
Absolutely. I mean, you're so right. It is. And again, everything happens for the highest and greatest good. And I'm sure you walked away with really, really important knowledge out of that time that you were stuck in a job that you hated. I mean, for one thing, you made good money, which I'm sure has stood you in good stead. But again, out of contrast, we learn what we really do want. So nothing is ever wasted. But why not go towards what you love in the first place?
It makes you so much happier.
Absolutely. And so those are the things that I teach to my clients today, because they come in and they put the cart before the horse. They put, you know, what do other people want me to do? Or what business can I get into where I can make a lot of money? And they just don't look in terms of, why am I on this earth? Where's my power and my alignment coming from? And what do I have to give to the world? When you're looking at it from that point of view, the business that you build is always going to be empowered versus just, and you'll be making clear decisions versus just reacting to whatever is coming at you.
Yep. So now, who is your ideal client and how are you marketing to them?
Well, my ideal client are professional women, professional entrepreneurs. Those are because that's who I was. And so that's who I have something to offer. I understand what it's like to be in business and I understand the universal laws. So between that, it's truly something that I have to offer. And my marketing strategies are, of course, certainly in this day and age, you have to be strong in social media. That's something that still people don't take seriously enough. Now, you don't make any money off social media, but it gives you credibility. You have to have a Twitter account. You have to have Facebook accounts. And you have to use them strategically to build your brand. You have to show what you stand for. People have to be able to click on it and know exactly what it is you stand for, because you only have them a few seconds. That's a marketing principle. You only get people a very short second, and they make up their mind about you in a very short second. So if there's confusion in what you're presenting, then you lost them just as quickly as they clicked in. So you have to have a very strong, you have to know what you stand for, have a strong personal brand, and that's what you have to communicate in not just your social media, but in all your image, in all your marketing, in your business cards and your letterhead and everything. That has to come out, who you are. And then my personal marketing strategy is I give presentations to audiences. And that's how I allow people to know what I stand for and what I do. And of course, always, always, always giving strong content. Letting people, in this day and age, you have to give people something really, really good and honest and upfront. Because there's so much out there, you know. So in order to stand out, you have to come out with quality.
quality is key for everything because there's so much noise out there, so many people. If you're not authentic and give quality, you're done.
Absolutely. My business is called the Authenticity Authority because, as like you're saying, authenticity is key. You have to be honest this day. I always laugh because there's a W.C. Fields quote where it says, honesty is the key. If you can fake that, you got it made.
I love it.
But of course, that's just the opposite of what we want to do. We don't want to fake it. And because you know what? When you're faking it, you're never going to be happy. That's the bottom line. Because all the money in the world isn't going to make you happy. You have this one life and you are here for a reason and you need to be happy. And if you're not having fun, ultimately the joke's on you. Ultimately your life will be over and you'll look back and you've made a bunch of money, but what good is that when you never had fun? And the only way to really have fun is if you're being yourself. Be who you are. That's when you'll have fun. That's when you'll have the most power, the most alignment. You'll make the most money because when you do what you love, the money comes. So you absolutely have to be authentic. That is just simply the key.
Absolutely. And so now in all your authenticity of what you're doing and building this new company, and I know part of it must have started from writing the first book. So
right.
Let's talk a little bit about creating that book and maybe a little bit about if you self-published or went traditional and then how that launched you to where you are now, starting this new part where you have your personal brand of authenticity.
Well, unfortunately, I have to probably dash some hopes right there. Having a book is not going to make you rich and famous. A book is almost sort of like social media these days. It doesn't really make you any money. Yeah, you can sell your book and, you know, make some $20 here and there. But, I mean, that's not money that's going to make you rich. I'm sure Stephen King is rich from his books. I'm sure the Chicken Soup for the Soul authors or Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen are rich from their books. But they've also sold 500 million books. The average author isn't going to get that much, but what it does is it gives you credibility, and again, it shows what you stand for. So there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, well, sure, it's easy to write a book. You just, you know, write up a little bit of outline and you fill it in and you got to look 40 pages and you got a book. I am not a proponent of that because there are going to be a few people that actually read your book and they're going to go, huh, really? I want nothing to do with that person. So your book has to be just like your content. It has to be honest. It has to give some value. There has to be something that people get out of it after they spent money on your book. So it's silly to just put a book out there and charge people. So what? You only charge them $5. Well, you didn't get rich, but you got yourself poor because you put something out there that wasn't worthy of you. So write a book if you have a book in your heart. If you want to write a book, if you have something to say, write a book. My story was so absolutely crazy that I really felt that it needed to be shared with the world, because there's absolutely no reason on earth, if you look at it from realistic terms, why I should even be alive. There's so many things that I have been through. My book is it reads like an action adventure novel. It is just crazy. And I certainly shouldn't be alive, and I shouldn't be prospering and being healthy and wealthy today. So I realized that my story is meant to be shared with the world. There are so many people that come up to me after a talk or after they read my book and they go, oh my God, we have things in common. This and this also happened to me. And I've never shared it with anyone. And it gave them the courage to let it out for the first time. And so write a book when you think you're going to help some people with it. My second book is called The Iceberg Principles, The Truth About the Universe and Your Place in It. And it offers an illustration of who we are as people. You know how an iceberg has just a little bitty thing on top, is only, in fact, 4% only show on top. If you don't know what an iceberg looks like, get a glass of water and put some ice in it and see how little tiny bit of ice shows on top and see how much is underneath. Well, what's on top is what shows in the mirror. It's your body, it's your mind, it's everything that's in this physical world, and that describes who you are, but it doesn't define you. Well, your strength, it's your abilities, and that's 96% of who you are, and that's what defines you, and that's what you're meant to bring out into the world. So if you want to start a business, ask yourself, what defines me? What's in my 96%? What's underneath that doesn't show at the top? And then bring that out to the top. And then you're going to have a successful business.
That's wonderful advice. And I always, you're so right with the book, because I have people like, I'm going to make money with the book. I'm like, no.
Sorry.
I like to call it a big expensive business card.
That's exactly what it is. It's an expensive business card, but you have to make sure that it really represents your brand as well. So don't put out some crap just to make a couple of $5. Don't just so that you're an author. You can say you're an author, because what if somebody reads that book?
Yep.
It does happen. Somebody actually reads it. And no, so you really want to put out something authentic and honest out there. And then as far as you were saying, self-publishing or publishing, my first book, Crawling Into the Light, I did go with a publisher. And there, you know, there's a whole thing to be known about the publishing industry. Publishing with publishing houses, the big houses like Random House, Simon & Schuster, that's a business. And so many people labor under the mistaken identity that they can just take their manuscript and send it into these people, and then they're going to read it and decide whether it's good or not, and that's how you will get accepted. That's simply not how publishing works. Publishing is a business. They're going to give you money for your manuscript, and they're going to print it, and they're going to market it. And in order, that's going to cost them a lot of money, and they have to know that they're going to make that money back again. And they simply don't know that with people they don't know, with brand new authors, with first timers. Your book could be brilliant. It could be groundbreaking. But if they don't know who you are, the chances that your book's going to sell on a broad basis so that they can recover their money are, it's simply iffy. And those people didn't get so big. Random House didn't get as big as it is by making iffy investments. So they will give Sarah Palin $7 million for her book, because whatever you may think of her, she's going to sell that book. So they have no problem giving those people a bunch of money, and they won't give you money. But it doesn't mean that your book isn't good. It just means that you are an unknown entity. So that's the big publishing houses. That's, first of all, right away, they will not take you. Sometimes they do. It's, and you hear it every now and then, but as a rule, that's not going to happen. So then there's these hybrid publishers that help you get your book published, and they'll charge you money for it, and they help you along. And it's probably a good thing to do that, especially the first time you're publishing a book, because they show you the ropes. They show you what does it all take. You know, how do you set it up? How do you format the book? How do you, you know, get a good cover, those kind of things. It's really nice to have someone holding your hand for that. And they charge you money for that. And it's probably money well spent. And then the third option, once you know what you're doing, is to go self-publishing. And there's places like CreateSpace, which is an Amazon subsidiary that I use personally, and I think they're absolutely fantastic. They also give you a lot of hand-holding, and they help you along. My covers are designed by my brand designer, so I go nowhere else but my brand designer to put out anything that has anything to do with me, because the one brand always needs to stay in place. You got to always look at it. And even if it's a different color or a different thing, you look at it and you go, that's Marnie, isn't it? That's a good brand. You got to be recognizable as your brand. So my brand designer designs my covers. And from then on, I do everything with CreateSpace now.
That's fantastic. And because CreateSpace, they really do make it so easy. I always like to say, though, unless you're established, to make sure that you have some sort of team for your first, even second book, so that self-publishing doesn't mean it's you by yourself.
No, it's not. It doesn't mean you go and get your printing done by yourself and you have a book. No, they help you get this stuff on Amazon and get it on Kindle, and so that you're widely available everywhere. And that's really all you need nowadays. Getting books in bookstores is not where your money comes from anyway. In fact, I don't even recommend it anymore.
Yeah, no. And I will touch upon, you know, with the bigger publishing agencies, what they're looking for is the platform. And I always talk about, you know, if you build the platform, if you have your followers and you've got, you know, your social media is done correctly and you've got your brand, and, you know, it could be anything from your products that you're selling to your, maybe you have a podcast. And so when they look at the bigger picture too, that makes a big difference when they see how many followers you have. So that platform is so important.
Oh, point well taken. Absolutely. And that's a much better way of putting it than I did it, with your whole social media and everything. It all has to fit together. But it is true that you do need some products as well.
Yeah.
You have to have something that people can say, okay, well, I love what you're having to say. And I'm not really ready for private coaching. So can I just buy a workshop from you? Can I just, and you're right, that has to all be in place for people to take away something. People have to be able to take away something from you that makes them better, makes their life better, because otherwise, why should they come back? You know?
Beautifully put, beautifully put. So as an entrepreneur, I'm going to get sort of a little technical. Is there a piece of software that you like and use and couldn't live without that really makes a difference in your business?
I am not that good in that area and don't really have a good answer for you. Again, as I mentioned, I have a coach as well, and my coach is really good with that stuff. So when I need anything, I say, I dream these things up. I say, this is what I want. And then my coach tells me what software to use, and then I go to my VA and let her do it. So I hold the vision. I hold the vision. I do nothing.
I got to hand it to you. That's the best way to do it.
It's the best way to do it. I spend my days in meditation dreaming up new things, and that's all I do.
That's a perfect life, too. I love that.
It's so true. It is so true.
So, and I know you do a lot of speaking. So how are you getting yourself out there in this? I know a lot of people are really curious about speaking and how to get out there. And how did you start that process, and how do you manage that?
Well, of course, with speaking, there's you have to be really clear on why it is you're speaking. Now, my speaking is part of my marketing strategy. I speak for free, and I offer my programs and my coaching during the speaking. And then after the talk is over, after the presentation is over, is when I sign up people, and they buy, sometimes they just buy a book, or they'll buy a workshop, or they'll hire me as their coach. And that's my entire marketing strategy. And then there's also speaking for money, but speaking for money is a very different animal. And somebody hires you and gives you money to hear you speak. And so you have to have a presentation that furthers them, that helps them. It's kind of not really a one size fits all. I mean, they're still going to come to me if they want to hear about authenticity and about building an authentic business, because that's my general direction. But then I would have to do research about that company, about what their needs and their problems are, and where do they want to get from point A to point B? Why do they want to give me money to hear? What are they getting? What are they expecting out of this? And so you have to get yourself a speech going that way. And if that's what you want, it's certainly a great way to also be a speaker and make money. And then you just approach companies that match what you have to present.
Yeah. So now I love that your marketing strategy is speaking. So where do you find the people that you're speaking to? How do you go down that process?
Well, that's where good marketing and a good brand is very, very important. You have to know what you stand for. You have to know who your ideal target audience is. Who are the people that will get the most out of what you have to offer? Now, for me, it's professional women. And there are myriad associations all over the country where professional women gather, and they have monthly meetings, and they always need a speaker. And those are the associations that I approach. And I give them, it's usually, they don't really want more than a half hour presentation, because, you know, they have their luncheon and then they have their networking and all that stuff. So I approach them and make sure that what I give them is something of really high value, so that then when they walk away, they really feel edified. They really feel like they got something out of it. And that gives you a good reputation too.
Yep, absolutely. That's wonderful advice. So now, looking at, we have all had all sorts of influences, in particular books we read. So do you have any books, whether it be business or spiritual, that have been fundamental in taking you through your life's path?
Oh, books by other people, you mean?
Yeah, yes, not yours. I'm sure yours is amazing.
Yeah, mine are just the bad, no.
And I'm sure other people would answer that question with some of your books.
Well, my own influence is the things that I follow is, I remember Eckhart Tolle. When I gave everything away from my home in Laguna Beach, and I went from a 4,000 square foot house with all the trappings to two suitcases. I sold everything, and and those two books that I kept, and they were Eckhart Tolle's two books, The Power of Now and a New Earth. Those books to this day are very important to me, and they're really helpful to me. And then I am also a follower of the teachings of Abraham, Esther Hicks.
Mm, yes.
I like her books. There's so much truth in that, that those are very influential to me.
I actually recently saw her a couple of months ago. She was in Los Angeles, and I went to go see her, and she was amazing.
Yes, in fact, I have the recording for that.
Okay.
That one, I know it's awesome. I'm actually going to do an Abraham cruise in March, where I'm very, very excited about. No, there's so much truth in that. It's mind-blowing.
Okay, so that cruise, I'm actually toying with going on. So who knows?
God,
we
so
may see each other.
That would be awesome.
And if any of my listeners want to join us.
It leaves out of Fort Lauderdale, where I live.
Yeah.
It's 1 week in the Caribbean. It's a dog's life, you know.
So now you've had like an incredible journey. I'm not even sure if I can ask this question appropriately, but I always ask, looking back on your journey, if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently? And this seems like not an appropriate question for you, or maybe it is. Maybe there's some one thing that would have changed your life and you would have done differently.
I would do nothing differently.
Okay.
As hard as my life was, and I think that's actually an understatement, I know now that everything happened for a reason. And the fabric of life is very delicate, and one thing leads to the next, and everything was the next step that was necessary that got me all the way up the ladder. So the things I look at now, I'm thinking that I've hurt people. And I wish I could undo that. But now I even know that even that was perfect. Even that was meant to happen exactly the way it happened. It did something for their life, and it still moved on. So I ultimately would do nothing differently.
That's amazing, especially with everything you've been through. And that's such a lesson for other people who would say, oh, I'd change everything. So that's really a beautiful lesson.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it really is that way, because I got the gifts are so immense that I got out of this. My life is so good today. It's so joyous. It's so amazing. And I get to do what I absolutely love to do, which is help other people get to that same level.
So now, where do you see yourself going from here? Like, what are your next steps in building your platform?
For me, I'm exactly where I want to be. So all I really want to do is broaden my reach, broaden my audience, help more people discover who they really are and how fabulous they are. That is what excites me, and that's what I see myself doing for the rest of my life. So I'm offering workshops, and I'm offering them online. And I think that's going to be my main focus is to create really, really good content that furthers people.
That's such a beautiful journey to be on. That's great.
I just launched one just now, which is called The 7 Secret Laws of Success, which talks about 7 universal laws that are really, really important that we need to know in order to have this happy and successful life. So that's one thing that I'm very excited about. That's the last thing that I just worked on.
Oh, wonderful. Can't wait to hear more about that. So any last bit of advice you would give to my listeners who are thinking about starting a business, might not be sure, or just the last golden nugget for them?
Well, as I said, figure out what's in your 96%. Figure out who you really are. What defines you, and turn that into your business. You have to be authentic because you're here for a reason. So anything that you spend time on not doing that is never really wasted time, but it'll create contrast in your life, because whenever you're not completely aligned with who you are meant to be, you're gonna get some bumps in the road. So figure out who you are and do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Love it. So true. It's when you can wake up and be excited about your day and smile and be like, it's going to be amazing, you know you're in the right space.
Exactly.
So you've given us such amazing information. Where would my listeners find you if they want to get more information about your products and programs?
Well, my website is simply authenticityauthority.com. really easily dispelled. And then the workshop I was just referring to, simply go to coachwithmarnie.com and it'll take you right to that latest workshop. And I am actually running a special on that one right now. So read all about it and sign up with it now, because that's not going to last very long. So it's Coach with Marnie, and Marnie is spelled M-A-R-N-I.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing your incredible story. You were such an inspiration and taking the time to talk with us.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Kimberly.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.